The special favor of Allah, Holy Allah. The universe is the body and its soul, Holy Allah, Holy Allah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Wa salatu wa salam wa ala Sayyidil Mursaleen Amma ba'd A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem Bismillahir Rahmanir Raheem As-salatu wa salam wa alika ya Rasulullah Wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Habiballah As-salatu wa salam wa alika ya Nabiyallah Wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Nurallah Viewers of Madani Channel, welcome to our series of programs Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow. And for those that have not watched any of these programs so far, in this series of programs, what we aim to do is, we aim to learn some lessons from the past. Learn some lessons from the past from our pious predecessors, the saints, the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is left. Learn from those incidents that took place. And them incidents, as I've said before, were preserved for a reason. They were not just preserved for the reason that we can have a nice story today. They were preserved for the reason that we can learn something from them. So in these series of programs, we're going to learn something from yesterday to make a change today so that we can have a better tomorrow. But before we begin, viewers of the channel, in every program, we give you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. And the reason why we do this is we want to make all of our viewers habitual in reciting Durood-e Pak, because the blessings are so great. And wouldn't it be great if every Muslim all around the world was to make a habit of reciting Durood-e Pak? And by giving you these blessings, it will encourage you to recite Durood-e Pak. And by giving you these blessings, hopefully you can remember these blessings, pass them on to others so that other people can benefit. And I pray that that day comes, that all the lovers of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam around the whole world make it part of their daily routine to send Durood-e Pak upon the best of creation. Allahu Akbar. With regards to today's blessings of viewers of Madani Channel, Sayyidina Abdul Aziz Dabagh Rahmatullahi ta'ala stated, it is beyond any doubt that reciting Salat upon the noblest Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is the most superior action of all acts of worship. This is a zikr of those blessed angels who dwell in the surroundings of Jannah, and when they recite Salat upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, by blessings of this, Allahu Akbar, Jannah itself becomes spacious. Allahu Akbar. So viewers of Madani Channel, please make a habit of reciting Durood-e Pak. I've said it before, I'm going to continue to say this, that in our lives we have times where we are waiting for things to happen. Yeah? We're waiting for the next customer. We're driving to work where we can multitask. Yes, you can multitask. You can be reciting Durood-e Pak and driving your car to work. You're waiting to, for your next customer. You're waiting to see the doctor. You're waiting for this. And all this time can be utilized. You can multitask when you're driving and you are reciting Durood-e Pak. Or whilst you're waiting, then utilize that time. And who knows, that one extra Durood-e Pak that you recite today might make all the difference on the Day of Judgment. So please make intention to make a habit of reciting Durood-e Pak on a daily basis. The pious predecessors have said that those people who recite Durood-e Pak 313 times, then they will be classed amongst those who recite it in abundance. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is stated, viewers of the channel, that whilst sitting in a chair, Sayyidina Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah was saying to himself, he was saying to himself that I had a blessed sight of the beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And the beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said to him, O son, why do you not deliver a speech? Why do you not speak to people? I humbly said, O my maternal grandfather, because he was a Sayyid on both sides of his parents, his mother and his father, he was a Sayyid. He said, O my maternal grandfather, I'm a non-Arab man. I'm a non-Arab man. How can I deliver a speech in front of those who speak well in Arabic in Baghdad? The beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, my son, open your mouth. And he said, I opened my mouth, and then the beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam put his blessed saliva 7 times into my mouth and told me, deliver a speech before the people and call them with good logic and with advice to the Rabb Allah Azza wa Jal. He said, then I offered Zuhr Salah and I sat. And many people came to me and shouted at me. He said, thereafter, I was blessed with the view of Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. And he said to me, son, why don't you not deliver a speech? And I said, oh, my father, people shout at me. And he said, open your mouth. Allahu Akbar. He said, I opened my mouth. And then Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, he put his saliva into my mouth 6 times. And I humbly said to him, that why don't you put it in 7 times? And he said, due to the respect of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And then he disappeared from his sight. It is stated, viewers of the channel, that after this incident that took place, Huzur Ghawse Pak rahmatullah ta'ala, he delivered a speech his first time in the month of Shawwal Mukarram in 521 Al-Hijri, during a grand ishtama which was full of grandeur and awe. And they say that the saints covered him, explained the Quran and the Sunnah, and he called people towards Allah Azza wa Jal. And as a result of that, everybody hurriedly came towards him and obeyed him. And we can see from this, views of Manish Channel. And remember, before I continue, just want to say something here. That whenever you hear an incident, you know, whenever I've heard people, I remember that when I was younger, and people used to go to the masjid and they say, oh, the Imam Sahib, all he's doing is telling us stories from 100 years ago, 500 years ago. What impact does that have on me? Yes, them stories were maintained for a reason, because in them stories, there's a message there. There's information there for us. Something that we need to learn, something that we need to act upon. And in this particular case, we are informed now that Sayyidina Ghawse Pak rahmatullah ta'ala, he was persuaded by the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and by Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu to deliver the call to righteousness. Deliver the call to righteousness and prevent people from committing sin. As a result of that, his life changed, and Hazur Ghawse Pak rahmatullah ta'ala, he attracted people by his first speech. And then a large number of people, as a result of that first speech that he made, a large number of people started attaining his blessings and come to his company. And he said that people from all walks of life would attend his gatherings. Islamic scholars and jurists would all gather. And he said that during his sermon, during his speech, that approximately 400 people would sit there with pens and ink pots, and they used to write down what he had to say. Allahu Akbar. You know, I remember reading this incident, and I thought to myself that, you know, in today's day and age, that are we not also blessed that we can sit in the court of a wali of Allah, sit in the court of a saint of Allah Azza wa Jalla, a friend of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and listen to his speeches. And you see that when people watch the Madani Muzakras on Saturday night, the Madani Muzakra viewers of Madani, for those that are not aware, are when Amir al-Sunnah, the founder of Dawud Islami, Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, may Allah Azza wa Jalla keep his shadow upon us, when he, every Saturday night, or even during these nights, every night, during Saturday, every Saturday night, for 3 or 4 hours, he's on Madani Channel live, and question and answers are there. And you see people there making notes. And people have filled diaries with what Amir al-Sunnah has said. And it reminds me of those people of the past that used to sit in the court of Ghawse Pak, and they used to sit there and learn from his Madani pearls and take advice from it. And the valuable pieces of advice that Ghawse Pak used to reflect fear, hope, patience, pleasure, abstinence and piety. He used to call people towards the love of the brotherhood, the love of the ummah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used to talk to people about the hereafter. He used to talk to people about death. He used to talk to people about preparing himself for the hereafter and being aware of your self-accountability. He used to talk to people about not getting attached to this world. And you know, whenever you hear of how Ghawse Pak used to call people and what Ghawse Pak used to talk to you about, you know, it makes you think that isn't this what Amir al-Sunnah is also doing? That Amir al-Sunnah is also calling people towards the path of righteousness. Amir al-Sunnah is also making us reflect on our actions. Amir al-Sunnah is also thinking to us, making us think about the hereafter, that time where we're going to be in that dark and lonely grave. And you know, I'm proud. I'm proud of you as a Mother Channel to be part of an organization like Dawat Islami, in which we have such a great personality like Amir al-Sunnah. And today, viewers of the Mother Channel, I know I'm going off the topic, but I think it needs to be said, that today I'm talking about the sayings of Ghawse Pak. And approximately 900 years ago, he was with us. And we're remembering him. And we're reflecting on his teachings. And we're remembering those fortunate people that were there with the ink pots and taking the speech, listening to the speeches. And maybe when we listen to the sayings of Ghawse Pak, a thought might occur to us that, you know, I wish I was there. You know? I wish I could have been amongst those blessed people that sat in the court of Ghawth Pak rahmatullah ta'ala and listen to his beautiful words. Our views of Mashan, that's not possible. It's not possible for us to be sitting in the blessed court of Ghawth Pak. Yes, we can listen to his teachings. Yes, we can listen to his words. We can read from the books that had his teachings in, but we can't be there. Yeah, it's impossible. But we can. We can, viewers of Mother Channel, be in the court of Amir Sunnat. And I firmly believe, viewers of Mother Channel, I will not be here. I will not be here, and you will not be here. But in centuries to come, when people write about the history of Islam in the 20th and the 21st century, they will write about the teachings of Amir Sunnat. They will write about those fortunate people that used to sit in his court and sit there and listen to his words of wisdom. They will write about those fortunate people that used to come with their pens and their diaries and used to fill up them diaries, and you'll see pictures of them diaries will be maintained and they'll be in. People will show these pictures of them diaries. Viewers of my channel, we have the opportunity now. Through electronic media, we don't even have to travel all the way to Karachi in Pakistan. Through the electronic media, every Saturday night you can sit there and listen to the beautiful Madani pearls of Amir Sunnat. So I advise you all, viewers of my channel, to please sit in these gatherings and take benefit from them. Sheikh Abdul Haq Muhaddis Dalvi Rahmatullah Ta'ala stated that there was not a single gathering of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Ta'ala by which non-Muslims would not be blessed with the treasure of faith by him. Disobedient people, robbers, people gone astray, people of corrupt beliefs would repent on his hands. When more than 500 non-Muslim and hundreds of thousands of sinful people had repented before him and abstained from committing evil deeds, then what can be said about the others? Allahu Akbar. Everyone used to gain benefit from his blessings, viewers of the channel. With regards to enjoining good and forbidding evil, he was not concerned about the authorities. And he would even present the call towards righteousness to the caliphs, to the kings, to the ministers, to the rich people. He didn't care who he was speaking to. His mission was to call people towards the path of righteousness. And he would not think to himself, oh, it's a king in front of me. Oh, it's a minister in front of me. Oh, it's a caliph in front of me. That I need to lower my voice. So I need to be humble. No, what was haq, and he would speak it. Allahu Akbar. And it said that Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Ta'ala would declare haq on his pulpit. And anyone who would make a tyrant rule over people, he would object to him. He would object to those people that were wrong, no matter who they were. He was not afraid of making his life, his feelings felt, and presenting the haq to the people, whoever they were. And this strength inside him that he had, this passion inside him that he had to reform the ummah, is something that we need to learn from, viewers of the channel. We need to have this passion inside us, this enthusiasm inside us, to help the ummah, to save the ummah from this pitfall of the hellfire, to save the ummah from this pitfall, this disease of the sins, to save the ummah so that on the day of judgment they can be raised and they can get the book of deeds in the right hand, to save the ummah so that the ummah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam can enter paradise, views of the child. This is now our responsibility to carry on the mission of our pious predecessors. And it said that Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Ta'ala spent 33 years of his blessed life in teaching people the deen, and he also spent 40 years of his life in delivering Madani pearls and delivering speeches to the public as well. And the advice that he gave, he used to deliver that for 40 years, and he said that his life lasted until he was 90 years of age, and in the year 561 Al-Hijri, he passed away. Viewers of Mother Channel, again, that great passion that he had in spreading the deen and talking to people. I'm going to take a small break now because it's something I want to talk about, but I don't want to break the situation up in the middle where we have to go to a break. We're going to take a small break now. We've got a small package for you, inshallah. And then when we come back from the package, we're going to talk a little bit more about how Ghawth Pak rahmatullah ta'ala was successful in calling people to the path of deen, insha'Allah azza wa jal. Let's take a small break. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The blessings of Hussein Azam.
Which has been mentioned by Sayyidina Ghawth Azam, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. They state that once they were walking and heading toward Baghdad Sharif in the state that they were barefooted. And on the way, they saw on the outskirts of Baghdad Sharif that there was a thief standing there. And this thief obviously was standing there in order to wait for a traveler to come by so that he may rob them. When Sayyidina Ghawth Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala got close to that individual, he asked, Who are you? The thief replied, I am a villager. But Sayyidi Ghawthi Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, by means of kashf, spiritual insight, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon his friends, divine inspiration, he had seen this individual's sin and seen his evilness. A thought at that time entered into the thief's mind that perhaps this is Ghawthi Azam. He radiallahu ta'ala anhu also became aware of this thought of that individual. And he radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, I am Abdul Qadir. Having heard this, that thief immediately fell upon the blessed feet of Sayyidina Ghawthi Azam and started saying, Ya Sayyidi Abdul Qadir Shay'an Lillah. Meaning, O my master Abdul Qadir, I have mercy upon my condition. Then Sayyidina Ghawthi Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi had mercy on his state and made dua in the court of Allah for that individual for his reformation. And a voice was then heard from the unseen, O Ghawthi Azam, show this thief the right path and by guiding him, make him a qutb with the blessed sight of Sayyidina Ghawthi Azam radiallahu anhu. That person, that thief who intended to steal from Sayyidina Ghawthi Azam, that thief and that individual received the status of qutbiyat. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, Madi Islam brothers and viewers of Madini Channel, we have noticed that just by one glance, by one blessed nazar-e-karam of Sayyidina Ghawthi Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, the determination of the thief and the pollution of his heart was all washed away. And he was made the qutb of that time by the blessing of Sayyidina Ghawthi Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And it has become very, very obvious that it is not a big deal for the saints of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to wash away the dirt of our sins and the rust of our hearts. When their blessed sight can turn a thief into a qutb, then what can be the state for the true devotees and those who yearn and who follow in the teachings of Sayyidina Ghawthi Azam? So a Madani pearl and a final message is that we should try to adopt the company of the pious people. We should also make this intention that we will act upon the commandments and the sayings of Sayyidina Ghawthi Azam to rectify our nafs and to also adopt the company of the pious people. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, in this day and age, the blessed Madani environment of Da'wat Islam is in front of us. It is like a clear book. We are able to see the leader of Da'wat Islami, the founder of Da'wat Islami, Hazrat Allama Mawlana Abu Bilal, Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri Razavi, Ziyai Damat Barakatum Al-Aliya. They are such a true devotee of Sayyidina Ghawthi Azam that they also bless their own devotees to join the silsila of Sayyidina Ghawthi Azam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability and passion to adopt these sayings and teachings of Sayyidina Ghawthi Azam, to abstain from committing sins and committing the disobedience of Allah. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enlightens our hearts with the true love and reverence for the awliya kiram. Ameen. Bijahin nabijil ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of the channel, you just heard a beautiful event that took place in the life of Ghawthi Pak. And you see the impact that just one look, one glance that Ghawthi Pak had on this person that was a thief and he was waiting to rob somebody. The impact that that had on his life, how it changed his life. And not only that, that through the guidance, through the company of Ghawthi Pak, we see that that person became a qutb of his time, the great status and the great rank that he had. And it is stated, viewers of Money Channel, that Ahmad bin Harb, Ramatullah ta'ala, stated that having love for righteous people, being in their company and acting upon their actions and sayings after observing them are the most beneficial actions for a human heart. So viewers of Money Channel, we need to attain the company of these pious people. Even if sometimes, you know, you cannot fully understand what is going on, but just being in their presence in itself is a blessing. So whenever you get the opportunity to sit with pious people, to meet pious people, then take it as a blessing and do that. And I mentioned before the break about the Madani Muzakaras that if you have the opportunity, you know, okay, maybe you can't travel to Karachi at the moment, you can't travel to Pakistan at the moment, but at least sit in the company through via electronic media and take the blessings of Amir al-Sunnat. But views on the channel, we were talking about Ghawthi Pak before the break as well, of how he would call people to the path of righteousness and how. And we also saw from this example how his success was different. that for someone like myself, if I was to call someone to the path of righteousness, what impact would it have in comparison to the likes of Ghawsi Pak and the likes of the pious people? And there's a famous event that took place, and we're all aware of this, but I'll mention it again. That when Ghawsi Pak, when he was young, and he went out into the fields, and it was the day of Arafat, he went out into the fields because all the youngsters, they were following the cows in the fields. And he was following a cow, and the cow turned round to him and said, "Oh, Abdul Qadir, you were not created for this. I, this plaything, these, they were playing in the fields. You were not created for this." So he went home, and he went to the roof of his house in Jilan, which was hundreds, maybe thousands of miles away from the city of Makkah, from the plains of Arafat. Because it was the day of Arafat, he could see the people worshipping, doing ibadat on the plains of Arafat all the way from his home in Jilan. And he came down to his mother. And when he relayed this event that took place, a discussion took place, and the decision was made that he would now leave his home. He would leave his home in search of knowledge, and he would go to Baghdad. He would go to Baghdad, and there he would acquire the knowledge of his deen. And his mother, what his mother did is, his mother gave him his 40 gold dinars and sewed them in the seam of his jacket. Yeah? Sewed them in the seam of his jacket and said to him that is your inheritance. My son, go. Go on the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Go and search the knowledge of the deen. And when you go there, remember this one piece of advice that I give you. And you know, this one piece of advice that his mother gave him many, many years later, when Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani was asked, "What is the root of all of your success? What is the root of all of your success that so many people are now coming to you, that so many murids are here, so many people are coming towards Islam, so many sinners, people, the sins are being washed away. What is the root of all of the success?" And he relayed this event that took place. And he said, "The root of all of my success, the basis of all of my success, was the advice that my mother said to me." And my mother said to me, "No matter what, always, always, always speak the truth." And the famous event that took place was that when he was on this journey to Baghdad, and on the way there was at the time, viewers on the channel, people used to travel together, because traveling alone was quite dangerous. And it was safer to travel in numbers. So he was in a caravan of people traveling. And some robbers attacked the caravan. And when they attacked the caravan, they took all the riches of the people, all the whatever gold they had, whatever silver they had, whatever money they had, they took it all of them. And when they came to Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah, who was a young man at the time, they asked him, "What have you got?" And he said, "I've got 40 gold dinars." And they couldn't find them. He said, "Where are they?" And he started to unpick his jacket, and he came out with the 40 gold dinars. Now the robbers and the chief of the robbers were shocked by this action. And they said to him that, "Why did you not just lie? Surely you need this money. We could not find it. We could not find it. Surely you could have just lied and kept this money. Obviously you need it." And he related the event to the robbers. He said that before I left home, my mother made me promise this. That no matter what, viewers on the channel, he said to him, no matter what, his mother said to him that no matter whatever happens, never ever tell a lie. Now these words, whenever I read this event, it's quite an event that maybe you've listened to the story many, many times. But when you see the output that happened next, what happened next was, as a result of the words of Ghawsi Pak, the chief of the robbers became awestruck, he became overcome with the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. And he said that, "You have not broken the promise that you made to your mother, but we are breaking the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal every single day." And the chief of the robbers repented, and all of the others repented at the hands of Ghawsi Pak. They all repented at his hands, and it said that they become walis of their time as well. And you know, when you read this, it makes you realize that if I was to say to you that my mother said to me, "Yeah, don't ever tell a lie," what impact would that have on people? But when a wali of Allah, a friend of Allah, a pious person speaks, it pierces people's hearts. And these people, they were affected by this. They were affected by this, and all of them repented. In the same way, viewers of the channel, I keep on saying this, but I'm going to keep on saying this, that today, in today's time, When people want their children to read namaz, when people want their children to stop committing sins, when people want their children to stop doing things, why do they take the children to the court of pious people? Because then pious people, when they speak, it has an impact on the hearts. When they speak to these people that are committing sin, even in today's age, when a pious person speaks, it affects that person in front of them. You may be able to say to your child, read your namaz, read your namaz, read your namaz, and he doesn't listen. But if you have the opportunity to take your child to a pious person, to a scholar of the deen, to a wali of Allah, Allahu Akbar, then inshallah, if that person speaks, you'll see a change. And you've seen it, viewers of Madri Channel, many times, that people come into the court of Amir al-Sunnah, that when he speaks, the profound impact it has on the hearts of people, that they repent from their sins, tears are flowing down, and they're repenting. And the parents of their children are shocked that their children have made a change. And we see within the environment of Dawah Islami viewers that there are people that have been in jails, that people have been committed robberies, murders. But by the environment of Dawah Islami, they have changed. So I implore you, viewers of Money Channel, that alhamdulillah, you have an attachment to Dawah Islami because you're watching this program right now. If you didn't have an attachment, you wouldn't be watching this channel right now. You have that attachment. But as Muslims, we should never be selfish that it's only for me. No, it's not only for me. Whatever good thing I have, then I should also spread it with my Muslim brother as well. So the environment of Dawah Islami, if you are taking benefit from them, also help other people to take benefit from it as well. And that is the whole mission statement of Dawah Islami viewers and channel, that I must strive to rectify myself and rectify the people of the whole world, inshaAllah, azawajal. So anybody that comes into this mahal, I came into this environment. Why did I come? To sort myself out. And I'm still sorting myself out. And I will continue to sort myself out until I pass away. But at the same time, this environment teaches us that whatever good thing comes to you, yeah, don't just keep it for yourself. Share it with others as well. Help other people as well and bring people closer to the environment as well. And the other thing that we learned from the event that took place, viewers of the channel, that Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Ramatullah Ta'ala, that when he left home to travel, to acquire the knowledge of the deen, his mother, what else did his mother say to him? His mother said, Go my son in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, and we will meet. When? You know, nowadays when our children come to us and say, Mom, we want to travel in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, Acha beta, when will you come back? Oh, it's a 3-day madri kaf. 3 days, you're going to be away for 3 days. Yeah, okay, all right. 12 days, no, 12 days, that's too long. How am I going to manage without you for 12 days? Yeah. And then if your child says, I'm going to go on a 30-day kafla, no, you can't go. Sorry. No way. You can't go on a 30-day kafla. 3 days is enough. I can manage 3 days without you, but 12 days, 30 days, sorry, you can't go. Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Ramatullah Ta'ala, his mother, and we heard in the previous episode that she was such a pious person as well. She said to her son, my son, go. Go in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, and we will meet when? On the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar. She sacrificed her son, literally. Did she not need her son there to help her? You know, nowadays, if you are parents and you're watching and you are fortunate enough to have pious children, do you not want your children to be with you so that they can help you, they can serve you, they can help you in the household chores? Of course you do. But that mother realized the importance of sending her son in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And that, again, is a message for all of us. That are we willing to sacrifice? Number one, for that person, that Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullah ta'ala, he went in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla all his life with that mission. And nowadays we find it hard to go for 3 days. And if we build up the courage, I'll build up the jazbah, I'll build up the enthusiasm to travel in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla for 3 days, our parents, they say, oh no, you can't go. So today, viewers of Munchala, I'm speaking to the parents, I'm speaking to the children as well, that travel in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. And as parents, support our children traveling the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. Let them travel in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal so that they can be empowered with the knowledge of the deen to protect their iman, to safeguard your iman. Yes, viewers of Munchala, that when you send your child in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, inshaAllah Azza wa Jal, when he comes back, whatever he learns, if he teaches that to the household, then it will benefit the household as well. And on this topic, viewers of Munchala, fortunate are those people, fortunate are those households, viewers of Munchal, that have been fortunate enough that the children have gone in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that have become the scholars of the deen. Yes, here in the UK we have the Jamiatul Madinas where you can become the future scholars, the English-speaking scholars of the future. We have Jamiatul Madina for the brothers in Luton, London, in Birmingham, in Bradford, in Rochdale and in Blackburn as well. And for the sisters, we have it in Birmingham, Bradford, Bury and Blackburn as well. And inshallah, soon we'll be opening in Aylesbury as well. And these Jamiatul Madinis, what are they doing, viewers of the channel? They are creating the English-speaking scholars of the future. But the fortune of those people, viewers of the channel, that send their children there, that they become the scholars of the deen. Because viewers of the channel, them scholars that you create, your children become the scholars. Then inshallah, you will benefit in this dunya. And if you do not benefit in this dunya, because people say, oh well, you know, maybe, maybe not. If you do not benefit in this dunya, then inshallah, you'll benefit on the Day of Judgment. Because it is said that those people that help the scholars, that help the scholars even by giving them a glass of water, they will be benefited on the Day of Judgment. So if you help your children by becoming a scholar, or if you help other people by becoming a scholar, then inshallah, you'll be rewarded on the Day of Judgment. I remember watching a package on Madani Channel where the Mubalik said that maybe I cannot become a scholar of the deen. But what I can do is I can support the scholars of the deen. What I can do is I can try and make my children become the scholars of the deen. And as we see from Ghawth-e Paak that his whole life, he sacrificed for the deen. And if you go, you know, when that event took place, when he was going to Baghdad, viewers of Madani Channel, if you go fast forward a little bit, he went to Baghdad and he started to acquire the knowledge of the deen. But that money that he had, it soon ran out. It soon ran out, and it, because he had no means of income. And when you've got no means of income, your money, it starts to disappear. Now, nowadays, when students go to university to acquire worldly knowledge, when the money runs out, they've got two options. They either get a job, and when they get a job, it affects their studies. Or they get on the phone and say, Mom, Dad, can you send me some money? I need some money. Yeah, I've run out of money. Yeah. Now, if they cannot get a job, if mom and dad can't send them any money, what do? They go back home. They leave the college, they leave the university. Because back home, they've got a nice warm bed, they've got clothes being washed for them, they've got nice hot warm food, and they go there. But when Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah ta'ala, his money ran out, there was no way of wiring for money from home. And there was no other means of income, and he starved, and they said that he survived on water, he survived on leaves, he survived on that. But why did he do this, viewers of the Money Channel? Because he understood that knowledge was the cure for sick souls. He understood the importance of knowledge, and that is why he struggled and strived and acquired that knowledge. And today, viewers of the Money Channel, acquiring knowledge is so easy. You're all sitting at home now. You're sitting on your sofas. Maybe some of you got a cup of tea in your hands watching this program right now. Maybe some of you eating right now. In the comfort of your home, you're acquiring the knowledge of the deen. You're not even having to travel. You're not even having to go. When Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah, he traveled to Baghdad. He didn't travel by train or by plane or in someone's car. He traveled by foot or on camel, and by foot they traveled. And they slept under the stars on many nights. Why? Because they understood the importance of the knowledge of the deen, viewers of the channel. So I ask you all, viewers of the channel, please, because knowledge has become a bit easy in a sense nowadays. And because it's become easy to obtain, we do not understand the value of knowledge. You know, something that's hard to obtain, we understand its value. People say that diamonds are valuable. Why? Because they're hard to obtain. There was a time, viewers of the channel, where that knowledge was hard to obtain. And so knowledge was very valuable. And because it has become easy to obtain now, it's been devalued in our minds. But that does not mean that that knowledge is not valuable. Knowledge is still valuable, but in our minds we've devalued it. So viewers on the channel, attach yourself to the environment of Dawah Islami and acquire the knowledge of the deen. Empower yourself with those tools that you need to protect your iman. Empower yourself with those tools that you need to protect yourself from the whispers of shaitan. Empower yourself with those tools so that when the angel of death comes to you at that critical moment in your life, you die with iman, viewers of the channel. We're going to take a small break now. We've got a kalam of the day, inshallah. And when we come back, we're going to continue with the discussion of some of the teachings and the sayings of Ghawth-e Paak rahmatullah ta'ala. Let's go to the kalam of the day. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Main qadiri
Jilani, Jilani.
Main qadiri,
Main qadiri
Jilani,
Jilani.
Main qadiri
Jilani,
Main qadiri.
قادری ہوں شکر ہے رب قدیر کا
میں قادری ہوں شکر ہے رب قدیر کا
ہاتھوں میں میرے ہاتھ ہے پیرانے پیر کا
نظر کرم میرا نظر کرم
وہاں کیا مرتبہ اے غوث ہے بالا تیرا اونچے اونچوں کے سروں سے قدم آلا تیرا
نظر کرم میرا نظر کرم
سربلا کیا کوئی جانے کہ ہے کیسا تیرا اولیاء ملتے ہیں آنکھیں وہ ہے تلوا تیرا
نظر کرم میرا نظر کرم
کیا دبے جس پہ حمایت کا گو پنجا تیرا شیر کو خطرے میں لاتا نہیں کتا تیرا قسم دے دے کے کھلاتا ہے پلاتا ہے تجھے پیارا اللہ کا تیرا چاہنے والا تیرا فخر آقا میرا رضا اور بھی ایک نظم رفیع چل لکھا لائے ثنا خانوں میں چہرہ تیرا
Jilani. Before the break, we were talking about Ghauth-e Pak Rahmatullah Ta'ala, how he would call people to path of righteousness and how he would deliver dars and bayan, and he would talk to people and call people towards the path of righteousness. And he empowered himself with that knowledge to be able to do so. And we also said that the impact that he had on people's lives by saying the sayings that he had, the impact that they had, that maybe if I say to someone, read the namaz, and it has no impact on their lives. But when a pious person said, read the namaz, it has an impact on their lives. And one of the reasons why that happens, viewers of the channel, is because the person that is telling them to do something right, the person, if I say to someone, read your namaz, if I say to someone, do this, do that, and they don't listen to me, then maybe one of the reasons is I'm not practicing what I'm preaching. I'm not following those commands that I'm trying to tell other people. I'm telling people to read the namaz. I don't read my namaz myself.
I'm telling people to refrain from this sin, and I'm committing that sin myself. I'm talking here on Mother Channel about backbiting, slandering, gossiping, and yet I'm gossiping, lying, and slandering myself. My words will not have an impact. Them same words spoken by a pious person, even the words are the same. The words can be the same, but because they're spoken by a pious person, it affects the heart, to use the Mother Channel. And so we need to reflect. We need to reflect on self. Those people out there that try to call people towards the path of righteousness, and you think to yourself, well, nobody listens to me. Nobody's listening to me. Maybe it's here. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe I'm the problem viewers on the channel. Maybe I'm the one that's not had that change inside myself. And when we, inshallah, azawajal, adapt a life of piety, when we, inshallah, azawajal, change our lives and start adopting the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then when we encourage other people, it will have an impact on their lives. And that's something that you and me, all of us, need to reflect on. That if we are in the environment, if we are blessed to be in the environment of Dawah Islamiyah, but people are not listening to me. People, I don't seem to be having an effect on people's lives. I can't see any changing anybody. Then number one, before we continue, remember this, that also could be a shaitanic whisper. Because sometimes you do not realize where your success lies. Sometimes you don't realize this. And remember, viewers of Manchester, that we, when we started here in Manchester, near here where we were, we started an ishtamaa, we're talking maybe 20 years ago, and there was only a few brothers. And obviously there were very few people attending then. And I remember there was one person that attended our gathering, and we didn't see him for 7 or 8 years. And after 7 or 8 years, we saw him, and he remembered us, and he said, you know, I remember that I attended your gatherings, and one of the mubaligs there encouraged us to read the Quran on a daily basis. And he said, when I left there, I could not read the Quran. I did not know how to read the Quran. Now, alhamdulillah, I know how to read the Quran, and I read the Quran on a daily basis. So sometimes our success is not in front of us, but that's one thing. So never be overcome by the whispers of shaitan and have this mindset that, oh, I'm going to give it up. Yeah, never think that way. That's one thing we should not think. If, however, you feel that your words are not having an effect on people, one, don't give up. Never give up. Never give up. Never give up, because calling people towards the path of righteousness, the reward is there. But then look at yourself. Look at yourself and think to yourself that maybe it is me. Maybe it is me that needs to act upon these words. Ghawth-e Paak rahmatullah ta'ala said, advising others without practicing yourself is of no importance. Furthermore, he stated, the act of not acting upon yourself and advising others is like a house without a door. Having no necessary things is such a treasure out of which nothing should be spent. It is like such a claim for which there is no witness. So this, how we live our lives, ourselves, you know, if we try to give the treasures of the deen to people, but the treasures are not locked up, the treasures are not protected, the treasures don't exist in ourselves, then how can we give it to them? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, with regard to this, that some dwellers of heaven will go toward the dwellers of the hellfire and ask them, for what reason were you sent to the hellfire? Although by Allah Azza wa Jal, we have entered heaven as a result of your teachings. You taught us. You taught us. People of the heaven of paradise will speak to the people of the hellfire and say, you taught us. You were the ones that guided us. But you are now in the hellfire. How is this possible? And they will reply, whatever we used to advise you, we would not act upon it ourselves. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So as they say in the English language, we need to practice what we preach. If we tell people to read our namaz and we don't do it, in the same way as parents, viewers of the channel, you know, we need to be our role models for our children. We need to teach our children to, you know, follow the deen of Islam. But that can only happen if we become the role model. We tell our children to read the namaz and we don't. We tell our children to read the Quran, but we don't. We tell our children not to go to the cinema and watch films and dramas, but we're watching films and dramas at home. We tell our children to cover themselves, to the daughters to cover themselves, but the mothers never cover themselves. We tell our children, don't swear, but we're swearing. You know, someone beautifully said to me once that, if you go into a house where people speak Chinese, how is it possible? Because the parents speak Chinese. Go into a house where children speak Punjabi, why? Because the parents speak Punjabi. Go into a house where people's children swear, why? Because the parents swear. They learn from us. They are the role models from us. And if we look at the life of Ghawth-e Paak, if we go back to that event that took place where the mother taught her child, taught her young child that whatever happens, no matter what, do not lie. Do we teach our children that? Do we tell our children the importance of speaking the truth? You may say, of course we do. We tell our children, oh, speak the truth. But do we really? And I've used this example before and I'll use it again. That sometimes what happens in our houses, there may be something that'll fall or break, and there's children playing in the room, and you go in the room and you ask the children who did it, and you're angry, you've got anger on your face, and the children are scared now. The children are scared now, and so they're, he did it, not me, I didn't do it. It was him. And you can see that they're scared of speaking to you. One, that's something that you need to reflect on, that your children are scared of you. Is that a good thing? Yes, your children should be scared of you certain things, but they shouldn't be scared of you all the time. But then what happens is, when that event took place, because they're all there, and you haven't got the time, or you don't want to give the time to find out who was the culprit, so to speak, who was it, the one that broke that vase, you punish all of them. Either you punish all of them, or you just walk out of the room in anger, and you say to the mother of your children, oh, they broke the vase, can you go and clean it? One of them silly children's done it. Now, what lesson are you taught that child there? The child that did this, the child that broke the vase, but he said he did it. What have you taught him? You've taught him that, look, lying's good. I lied. And what happened was, I got away with it. I lied. And what happened was, the punishment was shared amongst us. Yeah? Because I lied. So what's lying? Lying's good. Who taught him that? You taught him that. I taught him that. But if you spend a little bit of time with your children, and you go into the room, and you see that something's happened, and you say to the children, who did this? And children, I want you to be honest with me. Don't worry, you will not be punished, but at least be honest with me, children. And the child plucks up the courage, and the child says, Dad, it was me. Then what should your action be? I tell you, it was you, I knew it was you all the time. And you get angry with the child. No, that again is something that we should not do. If the child has plucked up the courage to speak the truth, praise that child. Sit down with the child and say, my son, you know what you've done, you've made a mistake there. In future, be careful, you know. Be careful when you're playing. Because that was an expensive vase. You know, it cost a lot of money. Be careful. But son, you know what? I'm proud of you today. You know what, son? I'm happy with you today. And you know why I'm happy with you, son? Because you spoke the truth. Later, no matter what, always speak the truth. Reward that child. Go and get a takeaway for the child. Go and get something into the child that makes the child happy. And then what have you taught that child? What have you taught that child? Speaking the truth is good. These are the lessons that we need to teach our children. But unfortunately, deep down, we're not teaching these lessons to our children. We're teaching our children to swear. Why? Because we're swearing. We're teaching our children not to pray our namaz. Why? Because we're not reading our namaz. We're teaching our children to lie because we are lying. How many times have people come to your front door and they look through the eye and they see who it is and, oh, open the door and tell them I'm not in. So the child goes to the front door and says, my dad's not in. What have you taught that child? You've taught that child to lie. You've told him to lie. You've told him to lie to that person at the front door that he's not in. And it happens. And then in front of your child, you answer the phone, yeah? And the person will ask, where are you? You're at home, you're sitting in front of the TV, watching the TV. Where are you? Oh, I'm at work, I'm in London, I'm here, I'm there. And the child's watching this. And the child's thinking, you know what? My dad does it, so it must be all right. Must be all right, isn't it? Because if dad's doing it, my teacher, the father and the mother, they are the teachers of the child. My teacher's doing it, so it must be okay. So we need to be very conscious of our actions around our children and be very wary of what we are doing, because that can have an impact on the children in front of us, viewers of my channel. Viewers of my channel, we're going to take a small break now, inshallah, azawajal. But before we finish, we're just going to give you one more hadith of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has said that the one imparting knowledge to others and forgetting himself is like a candle which provides people with light, whereas it burns itself. So you've got a candle. You're providing light to other people, but it's burning you. It's burning you. And that person that doesn't act upon that knowledge is like that person that's providing a candle to other people. They're benefiting from the light, but you're getting set on fire from it. Rather than getting light from that candle, you're getting fire from that candle. That is the difference that we need to learn when we practice what we preach. That when we tell people to do something, we need to act upon it ourselves. And the greatest loss that we can have, viewers of my channel, is for the preacher who does not practice, will be the fact that the people listening to his speeches will get the internal blessings of paradise, whereas he will be deserving of the torment of hellfire. Therefore, viewers of my channel, every preacher and religious personality should continue to endeavor to act upon the knowledge for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal and call others to righteousness instead of pretending to be pious in the eyes of people. That's another thing that happens with Yuzum Inshallah. That in front of people, we're all pious. In front of people, when we read our namaz, we read it very, very
you know, in so much comfort and so relaxed, yeah? And we'll sit there doing the zikr and we'll sit there reading the Quran. But when we're in the home, it's finished as quick as possible. Again, ostentation. That's another topic that we can talk about another day. But the sin of ostentation, of how we are pious in front of people, but behind the scenes, we're not. In front of people, we're offering extra nafil salah in the masjid, but behind the scenes, we're not. In front of them, we're reading the Quran, but never other times we're reading it. In front of them, we've got the tasbih in our hand, and we're doing the zikr, but otherwise we never do it, because we've got this ostentation inside us, showing off inside us, which is a sin views of Madhi Chahal. But whatever act we do, we should only do it, not for the people that are watching me, only for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. We're going to take a small break now. We've got a small package, inshallah. Then when we're going to come back, we're going to kind of sum up what we talked about today. I had so much to talk about, but time seems to have been getting the better of us. Let's just go to the package of the day, inshallah. And then when we come back, we'll continue on this topic. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Blessings
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Advising his disciples and devotees, Ghawsul Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi said, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, I spent 25 years of my life in the jungles of Iraq. I managed to offer Isha and Fajr Salah with the same wudu for 40 years. Similarly, I kept the routine of reciting the whole Quran for 15 years in Nafil Salah after Isha. At the beginning, I would fasten a rope around my waist and tie the other end of the rope to a hook in the wall so that I would not fall asleep. One night, when I intended to perform my usual worship, my nafs suggested that I take a little rest first and perform worship afterwards. At the very same moment and place where that thought occurred to me, I recited the whole Quran standing on one leg. O devotees of Ghawsul Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, did you see how abundantly our Ghawsul Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh would perform worship of Allah? Allah Azza wa Jal forbid. If we are lazy in offering even 5 times daily salah, how can we be able to justify our claim of being his devotees? Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of the channel, you're watching the program Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow. Today, we are talking about the teachings, the sayings of Ghawse Pak, rahmatullahi ta'ala. And Ghawse Pak, throughout his whole life, he would make people ponder about the hereafter. He would call people to the path of righteousness. He would try and get people to avoid committing sins. He would try to make people follow the path of righteousness and abandon the way of those people who commit sins. He said once, Ghawse Pak is narrated to have said, Hazur Ghawse Pak rahmatullah ta'ala said that, O bondsman of Allah, end your hopes, overcome your greed, and offer salah as you are to depart from the world. I offer every salah considering it to be your last. Remember, it is not appropriate for a believer that he sleeps in the state that his written will is not kept underneath the head of his bed. Hazur Ghawse Pak is making us wake up to the fact that death can come at any time. Therefore, a person should consider every day his last day, every salah his last salah, every fast his last fast, every good deed his last fast. This is what we should have that mindset viewers of Monday channel. I remember someone saying that you should consider every day your last day. You should consider every day your last day because one day you're going to be right. One day you will be right. One day it will be your last day. And if you do not have this mindset that any day could be my last day, and you think, I've got loads of time now, and I can do what I want now, can I? And this needlessness, this heedlessness that people become, that they forget about the hereafter, they forget that they're going to pass away, they forget they're going to die, they forget that they're going to be held accountable for their sins. Because of that, they start committing all sorts of sins because they think, I've got loads of time. So many people say, oh yeah, I'll go to the masjid when I'm older. Yeah, I've got plenty of time now. Well, I'll do my hajj later on. Let me do this first, let me do that first. Even though hajj is farz upon them. Oh, I'm too busy to fast this month, I'll fast next year. Even though fasting is part of the problem. Oh, I ain't got time for reading my namaz. When I get a bit older, I'll read my namaz. You know what? I'll start reading my namaz next year. After next year, I'll go and perform my hajj. I'll read namaz after that. Or next year, I'll start in Ramadan. All of these intentions that we make for the future, who knows whether we will see the future? So we should have this mindset that every day is your last day. Every namaz is your last namaz. And this is what Ghawse Pak tried to make us reflect and think about this.
that think to yourself that every day is your last day. Think to yourself that every namaz is your last namaz. And every day that you get more is another blessing for you that you can worship Allah Azza wa Jal even more. Hazur Ghawth Pak Rahmatullah Ta'ala has also said, O ignorant human being, ponder for a while. Ponder for a while, he said, when nothing can be achieved in this mortal world without hard work, i.e. for the mortal blessings of this world, one has to work hard, then the thing that Allah Azza wa Jal has and that will always exist, how is it possible to get it without any work? Allahu Akbar, views of my channel. But if you want to achieve anything in this dunya, that house that you've got, that car that you've got, that koti, that whatever you have in this dunya, it didn't just come, did it? You didn't just walk up one morning and outside there was a brand new car outside your house. You didn't just wake up one morning and you've got the keys to this house. You didn't just wake up one morning and there was you had a goal set there for your daughters or for your wife. It didn't just happen overnight, did it? You worked for it. You strive for it. You struggle for it. You saved it. And then you're in a position to buy that car, to buy that house, to buy that gold, to buy all of them luxuries. Them clothes that you're wearing, where did it come from? You didn't just wake up one morning and then clothes were on. You know you had to work for it. And these clothes, how long do they last? They disappear. That car, that house, that money, how long does it last? It disappears. And when you die, when you enter that dark and lonely grave, that car, that house, that gold, that money, everything's gone. So if you had to work so hard for that, if you had to work so hard for the mortal things, then what about the hereafter? Do you think it's going to come for free? And this is what Ghawth Pak is telling us, that if you have to work hard for that, what about this? What about the hereafter? What about attaining paradise? What about attaining the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal? You have to work for that. You're not just going to wake up and you say, oh, I'm guaranteed paradise. No, it's not going to happen. So we have to struggle and strive. And this is what Ghawth Pak did his whole life, that he made us realize that this life, it is short. Here in the UK, we're hearing about graveyards that are filling up very quickly. And we're hearing that these people, that person's passed away, that person's passed away. And there's a group that I've got on my phone that tells me about those people that have passed away in the community. And I just thought to myself the other day that one day, there's going to be a message in that group that I passed away. It's going to be in that group. It's going to be someone's going to send a message that this brother passed away and this is the time of the funeral. It's going to happen, isn't it? Everyone's going to be in that line. Everybody's in that line where the angel of death is going to come and visit us. But we just don't know where we are in that line. We don't know if we're at the front of that line or the back of that. We don't know. But we are in that line, viewers of the channel. And because we don't know where we are in that line, we don't know how long we've got left, then we need to think and reflect. And that is what Ghawth Pak did all his life. He tried to make us think. He tried to make us reflect. He tried to make us refrain from committing sins. He tried to make us perform those good deeds that are going to enable us to leave this dunya with our iman intact and enable us to present our good deeds on the day of judgment that we can enter paradise. And I just want to finish with this view, Zuman channel, that is exactly what Dawat Islami is trying to do. It's trying to enable us, empower us with that knowledge, with them deeds, make us perform those deeds, refrain from those acts that we're going to cause us problems, perform those deeds that are going to enable us to die with iman, perform those deeds that are going to benefit us on the day of judgment. And it's a completely separate topic and time does not permit me, viewers of my channel. But we need to be aware of those deeds, those sins, that if we act upon them sins, then we die, we run the risk of dying without our iman. Our most precious gift that we have, there's something that we don't value. We value our gold, our houses and all these things more than our iman. That's the most precious gift that we've got. Because you may have gold, you may have wealth, you may have all of these things. But if you die without your iman, then you'll become the most destitute person on the day of judgment. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The special favor of Allah. Holy Allah. The universe is the body and its soul.